Good evening. It's an enormous pleasure to be here with three parishes, three congregations who are celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one who draws us together, and doing that in such a beautiful way. It's also a pleasure to be here. This is the first parish that I served in about 26 years ago as a priest, and it's a real joy to be here. I'm Father Matthew Johnson. I'm the street outreach priest at St. James Anglican Parish in the downtown east side of Vancouver. And the street outreach initiative that I work with is a joint project of the diocese and of a parish and of private funders. And I've been asked just to meditate for a couple of minutes about addiction. I've been working on the street at Main and Hastings and throughout the downtown east side for 13 years now. And you make a few discoveries in that time. And one thing that I have discovered is that behind addiction lie roots that are not always obvious. And understanding those is helpful if we are to try and find ways forward, particularly as followers of Christ in responding and addressing this very human need. One of the surprising things that I discovered is that so much of addiction, both alcoholism and drug addiction, is rooted in the human spiritual experience of trauma. Trauma, yes. And trauma is something that can touch a person's life as a child, as a teen, as an adult. There are people on the streets of the downtown east side who have been profoundly traumatized by things like being abandoned by parents, and various forms of child abuse. It's really extraordinary and almost unbelievable what people can do to children, and it leaves wounds. And there's other kinds of trauma that are represented on the street. Those who have been in combat, those who have been prisoners of war, those who've grown up in group homes, those who have been incarcerated, those who have lost those closest to them in accidents, those who have been imprisoned for their beliefs and their political views. Torture and suffering are the common denominators in these stories, and I hear these stories in detail, and it takes a toll even on me as someone who is bearing witness to it. So trauma is really at the heart of much addiction, a lot. Another spiritual root is that of mental illness. Mental illness is no respecter of anybody or any family, and it can touch us all, and almost everyone here knows someone, not just who's been touched by addiction, but who is struggling in one way or another with mental illness, or has a family member who's in that place. Mental illness is an extraordinarily painful experience, and our society is just struggling to get grips on how we respond and realizing just how extensive an issue it is. I know that there are people, just given the numbers here, who have experienced both trauma and mental illness in your own lives, and things like depression and other kinds of mental illness, they take a toll. Like trauma, they cause pain. These kinds of pains are profound spiritual realities, and they're reflected in the words of a young woman who died a couple of weeks ago from a fentanyl overdose. I'm going to call her Ashley, and these are some words from a poem that she wrote that were read at her funeral 2 weeks ago. She said that when I use the buzz in my ears is so loud that it drowns out the cries of my heart. The crying of my heart. This was a wonderful, beautiful human being whose life was lost to addiction and who lived with pain and treated it by using drugs. A counterproductive thing to do, but very understandable when there are very few services available and very few solutions to mental illness or trauma. And people use alcohol and drugs to treat that pain. Now, there is another group of people who become addicted, and it's not really clear why they're addicted. So I should identify that as well. But the roots that I see that speak very loudly is the come from the spiritual experience, the human experience of suffering. Something we all know. Some people are suffering a great deal. Suffering from unspeakable experiences, things beyond our imagination. And that's for those who are in the realm of the real. Those who have mental illness suffer extraordinarily as well. Voices that speak to them, terrible visions and things like that. When they're high, that stuff goes away, at least for a few minutes. So when we try to understand addiction, it is about a response to human pain and an attempt to take that away. As the poet said, the buzz in my ears, the body sensation drowns out the crying of my heart. In light of St. Paul's epistle, as we've heard it, which is one about freedom, about inward groaning, how do we move towards wholeness, and how do we as a community make that real in people's lives? Well, first, I think, is that we approach addiction with understanding. And when we understand about trauma and when we understand about mental illness, that does enable us to be compassionate and to approach the problem as a human experience and not as something that involves and needs and requires from us judgment or blame. Judgment and blame do nothing to move people beyond addiction, and they never will. Guilt is that gift which keeps on giving, and judgment and blame only compound that. So compassion, an understanding of where this is rooted. Another thing that we need to talk about is realism and the real dimensions of addiction. Addiction takes everything except our human identity. Those chains on the floor, I can see that one of them is especially heavy. And addiction is, to be addicted is to be in a form of being in chains, in shackles. It takes health, it takes relationships, friendships, family relationships, jobs, school, sports, activities, volunteering, involvement within the community, personal pride, a sense of personal identity and accomplishment, and the potential that every human being carries within them, and it takes that away for a time. Addiction will accept no price except the price of life. So we need to be clear when we talk about the policy alternatives before us that addiction is no small matter, and the damage it does is utterly vast. How do we respond? How do we respond? We as Christians can encourage the things that we know make a difference. We heard a little bit about what can make a difference from the speaker just before me, who talked about relationship building, listening, getting to know other people. People who are addicted, you'll find many of them on the streets, many of them homeless, many of them in trouble, and there are lots of opportunities to talk to them. Make that connection. Reach out. And as a church, that is something we can do and we are doing, and we heard about it just now. We also need to speak up within our society, and as particularly with government, and particularly about public policy. That may not sound like a religious or spiritual thing, public policy, but it's eminently spiritual because it's about human beings. And what we need is a number of things. Detox on demand, the ability to get away from the drugs when you want to make a break. We need treatment, extensive and high quality treatment for people who are addicted so they can make a new beginning. We need to address these roots that I spoke about. We need to address trauma and have trauma services available and enhanced psychiatric services available. At Street Outreach Initiative, we are teaming with Vancouver Coastal Health to offer a series of trauma workshops that teach basic skills in what trauma is and how to live with it. There is one way I see the church addressing the roots of addiction. And housing. You know, it's really hard to get your act together when you don't have a place to put your head down at night. It's almost impossible to make it to appointments, to doctor's appointments, to show up for job interviews or housing interviews or things like that. So housing is also a part of a piece of the public policy solution. And as churches and as individual Christians and as voters, we need to find the people who understand this and ask them to take action in our government. Addiction, something that takes absolutely everything. But let me tell you, when you behold recovery, it is something else. When you see someone who has been freed from addiction through their own choices and have been supported in their choices, supported by others, it is a beautiful and a breathtaking thing, and it happens. Freedom and healing are possible from addiction. It begins by breaking down the isolation, and I've talked about the other steps that our churches need to take in getting public policy on board. A few thoughts on addictions, on the chains that are involved, and lastly on the beauty of what can happen when those chains are loosened. Thank you.